So I didn't call Sister Maxine this week and say, come on, let's get it together. And let's talk about heaven this week. But I'm glad we are, because I have another one that I'd like to share concerning heaven. I'd like to take a look at a verse first in Psalms 27 and 4. Because, you know, for us to make heaven, we're going to have a desire. That song that we just sang a little bit ago, Shall I Wear That Bright Crown? You know, for me to say yes, I believe the whole world would say, yes, I want to go to heaven. But what it's going to take to be able to do that. 27 and 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after. Now, we know what all the rest of it says about dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. But I'd like to take that first verse and look at heaven. One thing have I desired, and I'm going to go after that. I'm going to make heaven my home, whatever it takes. For this week, I was made to realize, you know what? For me to make heaven, there's some rules that I've got to be able to follow. You know, in a game that is played, in a race that is run, there's rules that have to be followed. I was looking at a verse in 2 Timothy 2 and 5 that says that you won't be crowned unless they strive lawfully. So, you know, for me to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to do it lawfully. I'm going to have to go the Bible way to be able to make it. If I could put a title to this this week, it would be Investing in Heaven. So we got a picture this morning of what it might look like and the descriptions that we have of it. I want to go there, but I want to put some things ahead of time. I want to put them over on that side. Last week we were talking about the rich man and Lazarus. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be also. The rich man says he fared sumptuously every day. And the only thing out of that story that it gives us that he did wrong was he failed to take care of the beggar that was at his gate. You know, it would be real easy for us to, when we're just reading clips at a time out of the Bible, to say, you know what, that rich man would have made heaven if he would have fed Lazarus, maybe took him in, and like the good Samaritan did to the man that was hurt, he would have gone to heaven for that. We heard it even in Matthew 25 where it says, the Lord's going to say, come in, you blessed. I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you visited me. Those kind of things look like that would ensure me heaven. There's a word called philanthropy. That's a good word. It talks about the desire to promote the welfare of others, expressed especially by the generous donation of money to good causes. Will that buy heaven? See, we need to be, what happens is a lot of times we can read one verse and it looks like, you know, it'd be pretty easy to make heaven my home. I just need to help some folks. And then we read the verse in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means I can take one scripture and see, you know what? The rich man would have benefited by helping the beggar. That's one thing that we notice he could have done. But will good works buy us a ticket to heaven? Could I take enough money and give it and it would do it? You remember the scripture even says, though I give my body to be burned, if I give everything I have, I could still miss it. That's not enough by itself. So I want us to look today. I want to invest in heaven. I don't want to be just thinking I am and I fail to be able to make it. So I want us to look at what it's really going to take. In Ephesians, in Ephesians 2 and 8, will works be able to buy heaven? It says by grace. We need to always remember this. Here's what's going to get me saved. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what? For me to be able to make heaven my home, there's an account. If you want to build up money, you're saving it, you wanted to put it together, you know what? You're going to have to open an account. You're going to have to get something, put your name there. Remember the song we sang, My Name is in the Book of Life. I've got to get my name in the Book of Life. How is that done? By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift that came from God. That gift was His Son that came. And the faith that I have in that gift and His sacrifice for me opens an account in heaven. After that account is open, I can make some deposits. But there's a warning to me to make sure I don't think my works alone can get me there. We sing a song sometimes, no righteousness of mine can ever avail. But through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood, all else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The first step is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. You know, born again puts my name up there in the Lamb's Book of Life. There are times when we hear of books down here in churches where you can join the church and you get your name put on it. You know what I really want is my name to be written there. We sing these songs about heaven and I want to go there. But I want to be able to know that my name is written there. And what writes it there is opening this account. There's also another something that I need to be able to have. The scripture tells us there about the charity chapter. If we don't have charity, it's going to avail us nothing. So something I need to have is over in Deuteronomy 6. And in the 4th verse, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, might. That's another thing that we're going to have. Once I get my name there, I'm going to have to love Him with all of my heart. Because there's a whole lot of other things that are going to be trying to attract my heart. Over in John 14. If this little bitty verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is how I show my love to the Lord. You know, we're talking about heaven, but we're moving back from just the picture of heaven to what it's going to take for me to get there. What it's going to take, the very first thing of all, is I must be born again. And after that, I'm going to have to love the Lord so much that as I see a commandment that He gives me, an adjustment that I need to make in my life, I still value heaven so much that I'm going to make any adjustment that it requires. It says over in 1 John 5 and 3, His commandments are not grievous. You know how we can keep that from being grievous? Is keep this picture that Sister Maxine gave us this morning of heaven. If I will obey His commandments, if I will follow the things that He says, whether I want to in the flesh or not, whether the world says it's convenient or not, I'll follow the Lord all the way because I want to make heaven my home. His commandments are not grievous. What are the commandments, some of the commands that we see in the Bible? John 15 and 12 is one of them. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. These are some of the things that will be happening down here while I'm waiting to be able to go see that city that we've been singing about. That my love for Him causes me to love those around me. Another verse, Galatians 6 and 10. As we have opportunity. You know, we can ask the Lord, would you cause there to be an opportunity come into my life? That I could, what does it say? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. First of all, just let it be a blanket statement. Anywhere I see a need, Lord, help me to be able to see it and know what I can do to help. But then it comes on down, especially to those of the household of faith. Let me go about with a desire to do good, not because it's going to buy me a ticket to heaven, but because of what that grace did for me in my life. John 13 and 35. 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love. And it doesn't say one for another, but one to another. It gets relayed from me in physical things more than just in my head, I love you, but to be able to show it to others. So after salvation and after my love for the Lord starts increasing, works are going to follow. You know this scripture in Galatians that tells us, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know it goes right on into the next verse and tells us in Ephesians 2 and 10 that he planned that once we realize that it's not of works, lest any would boast, then it is, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what? Good works is going to be just as much a part of the Christian as any of this other. It all goes together. Once I am born again, once I love the Lord with all my heart, now I start just flowing from inside. What can I do to be a help to others? Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But it also says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. If you went out into the world today and did not give that as a scripture, but said, I just want to tell you, this is good advice. Don't just sit there looking at your own stuff. Go look at other folks' stuff. Well, they say, I've been doing that. He's got a nice car, and I'd like to have that. Is that what this scripture is saying? Mm-mm. Quit looking at your own stuff and how much focus I need to have on it and taking care of myself. And Lord, help me to start looking around, be able to have the capacity to look around at the needs of others. There's another bit of instruction. Over in Matthew, the 6th chapter, a warning comes to us. While I'm transitioning from here to heaven, there's things that can give me a problem. As I'm wanting to be able to make deposits to heaven, I want to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So I say, you know what? I'd like to help other people. Here's a warning. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. That's an interesting verse. It's possible, you know, I open my account with being saved, and I send up some deposits showing my value of heaven by helping others. But you know what? If I do it to be seen, that deposit gets voided. It has no value. What does it say? If you did it for that reason, you just got your reward. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. You ever looked at the commentary on that? It said this really happened back then. It said, and it says, as the hypocrites do, it says such persons, when they were about to bestow alms out in the public, they caused a trumpet to be blown. It was professedly to call the poor together to receive the alms, but it was really to call the people to see the proofs of their liberality. I'm blowing this thing. When you hear this trumpet blowing, you can take a look right here. I'm fixing to help out some folks. What does it say at the end of that? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, I'm wanting to build up some reward over in heaven. I cannot really say, okay, works is building. You know, we're talking about the mansion that Sister Maxine, it says, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. Now, are these good works getting me to buy a two-story mansion instead of just a single flat? No, that's not anything about all that. What I'm really doing is tell the Lord how much I value what he says he has prepared for me. I want to be able to help others also. But, and it goes on down, even gives us a little warning. When you do alms, don't let your left hand, here's the most valuable part of being able to get this deposit made in heaven, that the Lord recognizes it. When you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. That's what we want to be able to have. In Philippians, where it tells us, here's what you want to do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he gave us some examples. He said he was of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, willing to serve others, happy to serve others. There was a song that I saw, "Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless and cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, precious, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, and stamp thine own image deep in my heart. Make me like you." What was Jesus like? It gives us a little description over in Acts. We see all the things that he did, but then it was trying to be summed up just a little bit in Acts, the 10th chapter, and in the 38th verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good. You know, just quietly went about doing good. And I think that's important for us to see. The value that is placed from heaven of us going around just doing what we can of doing good for others. There is an example of this over in Acts, and we've seen it before, Acts 9 and 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full. Now that's something. She was full of good works. Now, I don't think these works would have even been mentioned if she blew her trumpet when she did the works. But I think she just quietly went around seeing who she could help, seeing who was in need, and it came up like an incense to God. And it says she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it doesn't say this was what she told us that she had been doing. It's just what was quietly done. And then she died, and it came on down, and it says in the 39th, when Peter came in, said all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. That's kind of an interesting story in the time that we're in, what we're talking about today. You know, when I can be so consumed about the cost of living is so high, it's taking everything just for me to exist for myself. I really don't have anything for anybody else. But you know what really has value? It's something like this. It doesn't say Dorcas was so wealthy that she was able to just freely give all that. She had plenty left over. It just says that she was full of good works. And I say, Lord, help me in a busy time. When it seems like I can get so consumed with daily activities and the things that are happening now, and it takes everything that I have for me to be able to make it. It says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If we could see the value of this treasure in heaven, it's in small things. You remember when we read the story before, where the man said, maybe it was, you hear it in different forms. One was the shoemaker. And he was praying one night, and Lord, I would love to be able to see you. And the Lord says, I'm coming tomorrow. I'm going to come and visit you. Oh, he was so excited. And he waited, and it's cold outside. And Jesus hasn't come. But somebody does come. Somebody that's in need, and he takes care of the need that he has. Got some shoes here that'll help you. And through the day, he helps several people. And at night, Jesus has not come, and he gets ready to have prayer at night and say, Jesus, I thought sure you told me you was coming. And he says, I did. Time after time, I came. And you were there. You know, that story does not end when Jesus said, come, you blessed are my Father. It turns around. And it says, There were others that said, when did we not see you and help you? And you know what? It was the same opportunities, but we passed them by. I want to be able to make heaven my home. I want to be able to do those things that will put a benefit to heaven. I cannot buy my way into heaven. But what I can do is, it was intended that a salvation would cause me to have good works flow out of my life to be able to be a help to others. What I like about those people that did help, the ones that were hungry or the ones that were sick, they didn't even recognize it to be a burden. They said, when did we see you? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. You remember Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter? You know, here's a Roman man, and yet it says he is devout. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house. That's amazing when all around him are maybe other Romans that have no desire to live right. And here it says he's a devout man, feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and he prayed always. Look what happened to his life. Fourth verse, and an angel of God came to him. And when Cornelius saw it, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, you know what? If he had sounded a trumpet, the alms would have been voided no higher than the ceiling of going to God. But when he was just going about doing good, God recognized it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I'm impressed by, there's a few messages about what heaven looks like, but there are so many that tell me how to get there. Yeah. I want to be able to get there. And it's going to be, for me to be able to hold this intensity to get there, I'm going to have to get some glimpses every once in a while. Yes. I need to be able to see, you know what, there is no more trouble up there. There is no sin there. There is no more sickness there. I want to go there. And then it tells me where your treasure is. That's where your heart's going to be also. So we can think about laying up treasure over on the other side. And about all we've talked about right now is doing good to other people. But just for a little bit, I want us to look at some other things that will put treasure in heaven. There is a song, number 109. I'd like for us to sing first verse. Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord of Thee, thinking of Thee, O Lord of Thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. That's an interesting way of putting it. Thinking of Thee, O Lord of Thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. You know, we can get so many troubles going on around us and burdens and things that we're faced with that we need to sometimes stop and muse on things above. And it starts doing like a musical instrument. It starts tuning it back to where the sound is just right again. Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. Do you have those times where you can go out and it's quiet. There is no noise around you. Springtime to me is a wonderful time. You look at the trees right now that are turning, blossoms are coming out. Sky is blue one day and you just sit outside quietly and muse on things above. One thing I'd like to look at is, God, if you made this great, what must heaven be like? We cannot comprehend it. He made this knowing that we'll only get to enjoy it for 80 years and then we're going out into eternity. But he gave it still for us to enjoy. And something else that he does is he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He allows their gardens to grow vegetables just like he does someone else's that's living for him. It's his mercy that he does that. But may we be able to see there's eternal value to some things. So just for a little bit, I would like to look at something besides almsgiving that has eternal value. What eternal value does forgiveness have? You know, it would be like making a deposit up there. It's what it really is. It's not like I have a bank account up there. But what it just tells me, Lord, I'm seeing the value of heaven against these things here. What scripture tells us how much value forgiveness has? Can you think of one? That one right there tells me it's got a real high value. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That one little thing right there, I can do all these other things just right. And I hit this one place. You remember where Peter was saying, and I wonder what kind of troubles was coming into his life. Lord, if I forgive 7 times in a day, how about that? And he says, no, it's 70 times 7. For us to make heaven our home, I'm going to have a heart of forgiveness. Yes. Because troubles are going to come to me. But this, to me, ties in with what Sister Maxine is saying. Let's have a picture of how valuable heaven is going to be. To where the next time someone hurts me by something they said or did, instantly I compare it with this. Paul did it over and over and over again. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, those were not all sicknesses. Some of those were stonings. Some of those were the times that he was beaten 39 times, save one. And when he compared it, he said, it's not worthy to be compared. He had a picture. Well, he really did have a picture. Because, you know, Sister Maxine is telling us we need to have a glimpse of what heaven is about. He got a glimpse. He said he caught up into the third heaven, saw some things that you cannot talk about them. I believe those things held him. Now, we may not get that same kind of vision from the Lord that he got, but we can get a vision. We can ask the Lord, Lord, give me a vision in my mind of what heaven is going to be. If it's nothing more, then there will be no sin there. You won't have to lock your mansion door if that's what it's going to be. You can just tell them, hey, don't even have to have a key. It's just a passage handle on it. Come on in. You know what? We used to, in our country here, used to have that. People didn't have to lock their doors. And if they did, they'd tell you, hey, the key is under a rock. Just open it up and go on in if you need to check something. We don't live in that kind of time anymore. Sometimes I close up the house at night. I lock it all up, got everything secure, got my doors locked, and I walk around. Everything's good. I get in bed. Next morning, I walk outside and see I left my entry key in the front door. So, you know, we're not so safe. But you know what? We can think about there is a time coming if I will be faithful, won't even need a key because we won't need to have to lock the doors. We need to be able to have those things. There's another thing that has eternal value. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart. That one says that I might not sin against thee. That will have eternal value because if I'm not able to maintain that and keep myself from sinning against the Lord, it's going to keep me out of heaven. But I think there's a whole lot of scriptures in the Bible to give me encouragement when disappointing times come to us. I don't know how many thousands of promises are in the Bible. But they would be pretty valuable to me to think about keeping my connection with heaven. There's another one in 2 Peter it tells us about, I'd love to see the gates open up and I can just go right on freely through into heaven. I don't want to be just kind of open up. Let's see, who are you? I don't know if I'm going to open or not. But this one says, it is possible for every one of us to have the gate swing wide open. What does it say? 10th verse, 1st chapter, 2nd Peter. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guaranteed. You know, people talk about eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Yes. You know what? Jesus Christ intended that to be for all of us. That if we would hide his word in our heart, if we would do these things that it says give diligence, what are we giving diligence to? It talks about that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature in the fourth verse. That's a change of heart that has happened to us. And then it says, here's what you do. Giving all diligence, fifth verse, add to faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, kindness. Brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. If these be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. I'd love to have eternal security. I'd love to be able to have the gate swing wide open for me, and it's possible. What I need to do is, you must be born again. I'm thinking about this. As we mix with the world around us, the religious world around us, it starts making it look real easy to make heaven our home. Look in the obituary sometime. This man was killed in a barroom fight, but he's in heaven with the angels today. I'm glad that we're not the judge for it. But where I am the judge is, Lord, I'm seeing some things about myself that you are trying to make a difference in. I want to make heaven my home. No matter what the world around us, how easy it is that they say we can make heaven our home and not make a change. When I start hiding his word in my heart, I start seeing the value of heaven and seeing the value of making whatever changes need to be made. So I want us to, each one of us, keep a picture of heaven in your mind. And by doing that, realize also there's some other things that I can do. How much value is reading the Word of God when I start looking at heaven out ahead? It becomes more value and I say, Lord, help me. How much value is there, prayer, of talking to the Lord about the times that we're living in and how I want to be able to make it through these times? It's pretty valuable. It won't buy heaven for me, but it's something that is going to help me to be able to see the value of heaven and be able to make it. I appreciate the songs that we have sung this morning. I believe they're true. There is a city, and I want to be able to make it there. I desire your prayers.